so we went there, and, you know, I'm not telling tales out of school here, because I'm just going to, you know, as Jack Webb used to say, tell you the facts and everyone can draw their own conclusions. But I was expecting, you know, because I was younger and more naive in those days.
Richard?
Yes. I did not know the fix was in on this subject. I did not know that there was a lid, that we're not supposed to know this stuff. You know, I felt that the reason that the Mars material had not been investigated by NASA is because they were just, you know, kind of looking in other directions, and it was so unbelievable that they couldn't bring themselves to really, you know, grasp the nettle and come to grips with the implications. And I did not realize, as I do now tonight, that there was this inordinate political, you know, fix which does not allow this kind of material to be dealt with seriously at any level of academia or the government or in any public venue.
Right. Or at least any level that we would be aware of.
Well, if we're not aware of it, it's not public.
Right.
So, okay. So, you know, Tom and I, you know, get on an airplane and we're heading to New York, and I was very intrigued that this guy who'd written this series of books, which he called the Earth Chronicles, which was touting this absolutely off-the-wall theory that basically Homo sapiens had been somehow guided and manipulated, if not created by another species, spawned, if you will, in the laboratory, therefore giving forth some of our most important and richest, you know, origin legends and sacred texts from all over the world, that he wanted to talk to me. So we get on the airplane and we fly to New York and get into LaGuardia and take the cab in and go to Rockefeller Center, and it's a very imposing place. Years ago when I was in the museum in New England, I used to run down to New York all the time, and I was like 16, and I figured out the way to get into interesting places was to wear a tie and carry a briefcase.
And they just let you right
in. And they would let me right in,
never
and I
got
would wind
carded.
Up sitting there in Studio 8H when Huntley and Brinkley were doing the nightly newscast and having these conversations during the commercials. And I was this interloper from outside just sitting there, you know, and all the people thought I belonged there because I acted like I belonged there. It was the secret of finding out stuff. So here we are, you know, I'm going back to my old haunts. That was the same building where I was basically, for a night, co-opted by a network to be their science advisor, which later led, you know, to my work over across the street at CBS, because it was the first night of the Surveyor landing on the moon, the unmanned Surveyor spacecraft in June
yes.
of 1966. And I was down visiting with a college friend of mine, and we were just, you know, kind of having a ball. You know, I wandered into 8H, and, you know, they were hanging the moon upside down.
Did you tell them?
And I told them this, and they immediately deputized me on the spot to be a consultant for the program. You know, I was from this museum in New England. I was this young kid, you know, not dry behind the ears, but it was, you know, what's frightening is that if you know a little bit of something, it turns out that the network people don't know anything, so you know more than they do, so they hire you.
And that's how it started.
That's how it started, and it only appears to have gotten worse, but that's a whole other conversation, okay? Anyway, so Tom and I walk into, you know, Rockefeller Center, and we take the elevator up to the 47th floor, and we go in to have our meeting with Zachariah Sitchin. And I must say that it's been a long time since I have been disappointed that way.
Disappointed because
you were
thinking something was going to be a little more Austin, you know, grander or what?
No. It had nothing to do with the appurtenances. I mean, it was, you know, 47th floor Rockefeller Center. It was obviously a very lavish suite. He deals with imports and exports. And, you know, this is long before I got into the area where I started asking questions about the Rockefellers and their role in all this history, and what they've done in terms of their institutes and their, you know, guidance of knowledge in certain directions. And, you know, from that day to this, I've always wondered, why does Zachariah Sitchin have an office on the 47th floor, 19.47, but the 47th floor of Rockefeller Center? But at that point, I just was looking forward to discussing with what I thought was a colleague the really cool stuff we had figured out.
Well, why were you disappointed?
Because he didn't want to discuss anything.
Well, what did he want you there for?
He wanted to find out what we knew.
Ah.
And he kept asking questions here and questions there, and he kept touting how he'd been there first, how he discussed this in this book, and he discussed this in that book. And finally he said, I tried to get him to answer certain questions that were on my mind relating to, you know, the Anunnaki and who they really were, and the increasing discrepancy between our research and his conclusions.
You must have been chomping at the bit to talk with him.
Well, of course. And the seminal moment, the moment that Tom and I literally took away on the plane ride back to Berkeley, came in the following, you know, interchange. He kept talking about how he'd done this and he'd done that and he'd been there and he'd been, you know, he looked at this archive and looked at that record and, you know, this is the way it was. And, you know, I finally asked him, I said, well, where can I see these new conclusions? And he says, well, of course, in my latest book. And I forget which one.
Yeah, because he had a whole series of them.
Yeah, he had a whole series. And then I said, you know, kind of expecting that he would say, and, you know, here's a copy, because what I do when people ask me questions, I wind up giving them a copy.
Signed copy, of course.
Even a signed copy, yeah. If I happen to have a pen with me. What he did was the most remarkable thing, because he got up from this huge desk, which occupied like about a third of the office. It makes the president's desk in the Oval Office look small. And he went to these incredible panoramic windows, which on the 47th floor look out over the Rockefeller Center in New York, and he pointed down to Fifth Avenue, to Brentano's bookstore, where Tom and I could get a copy
I love it.
Of his latest book.